Hey, this is Mindy with Bring It Radio. We're here right in the Fishbowl on Fishbowl Radio Network in the Gospel Bowl. And today I have some really cool guests with me. We have Nate from the Sports Bowl.
How's it going?
And he knows everything you could need to know about sports. So if you're like me and you just don't have a clue and then everybody keeps talking and you think, I really should tune in or something, if you just catch his show, you should be caught up on like all the important stuff, right?
That's flattering, but I am a humble student.
But you spend time actually following
yes,
it.
Yes, I do.
And that's key. Mm-hmm. You know, I could talk about sports, but none of it would be anything actually current.
Okay.
I'd talk about Daryl Strawberry or somebody like that.
Oh, wow.
So that's the last time I was following sports.
That's a while ago. Okay.
Also in studio today, we have Dimmer Robbins, and she is the writer of the book Muddy Little Secrets. She co-wrote it with Alicia Sims Mercado. And I love the sub, what is that called, a subtitle?
Subtitle.
Subtitle, mm-hmm. Victim to Victory, Tragedy to Triumph. So she's here to share her story today. And so if you guys are listening in and you're, you know, running about your day, doing what you need to do, y'all are definitely going to want to stop and tune in because Dimmer has an awesome story. So welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here too. So Nate, is there anything that you'd like to tell our listeners before we jump into the book and all that about your show, when it airs? So if they want to know about sports, they know where to go.
Sure. It's the Basement Show with Nate Miller. It's on every Wednesday from 3 to 5. The reason I call it the Basement Show is I literally started it from my basement.
I know, such a cool story.
2 years ago in Michigan.
So, and didn't you say you came down here because it was too cold to keep doing it in the basement?
That's one of the reasons, yes. So, and I think I eventually would have gotten bored with it if I just kept doing it from my basement. And the fact is, I was living down there too in that basement. So, it was just kind of boring.
Yeah. So this has opened up some new, you've gotten some awards
yes.
here, you've got a new position, right? What's your new position?
Program Director of the Sports Bowl.
Yeah, so he's also the guy to talk to if you like sports and want to know about how to get on the network.
Yes.
Well, today we are going to dig into your story, Dimmer, and first we'll tell you guys how Dimmer and I met, because it was really a God thing, I would definitely say. So I went to a painting, I don't know, what did Ann call it? What was the name of that evening? Do you know? Do you remember?
I don't know.
It was some kind of painting, Bible study, you know, whatever God ends up doing while we're here sort of thing. And my husband had said I could go, and I had invited a girl from church. And anyway, she was like, what are we doing? I was like, I don't know. But the thing is, I have gone to one of Ann's Bible studies before, and we don't want to miss it.
Right.
So she was like, okay, well, I'm game for whatever. So we went to this thing over in Grapevine, and there was just all of these ladies there, and they had all come just to hear from God, essentially. And Anne had been praying and asking God to show her what to talk on. And so I sat at a table, and Dimmer was actually our table leader. Of course, I didn't know that till kind of later in the end. So I guess you had already prepped with Anne, right? She didn't just tag you that day.
Right. No, we'd planned the whole summer beforehand, and they had picked out some leaders. And so that was actually the set. The third one was the one you came to. We had two before that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it was just an awesome experience. So it might have been called Painting in His Presence, maybe.
Anne,
or is that the
that
new one she's
by
doing?
Herself. And then okay. The summer was called Battle Plans Bible Series. And so there were three Bible studies that we did together. And then she does the painting on the side. But that evening was focused on looking at the painting and seeing what God what God's revealing to you mm-hmm. in your life in the painting.
And she had three people paint things that they felt like God was just showing them, like, as they went. And so it was really cool just to watch people in action, moving and working and doing things as God told them, mm-hmm. you know. And I'd been to one of those events before, so I had brought a friend and said, you have to go to this. And my husband said, what are you going to? And I'm like, I don't know. We're like painting, or we're studying the Bible or something like that, but it's going to be really cool.
Maybe both. It'll be fun.
And Dimmer was there, and she was my table leader. And so then she went around and prayed with each person at the table. And I was feeling very tired that day, and I think that the battle plans, that was one reason I went to it, because I'm like, man, it feels like we're in a war, and it gets exhausting yeah. sometimes, and I know there's purpose behind that. So I had gone looking for some encouragement, and you definitely provided that, and I appreciate the planning and the time that you put in before
well,
So you were available.
Thank you. And I met Ann through Moms in Prayer at Grapevine Faith Christian School, where my kids go. And she was the leading Moms in Prayer. And just being, she's just a great mentor. And her and Elizabeth Fowler and Gail Novak and Carrie Norman, they just kind of all came together. And I don't know, it's just something about being with women who don't have any blinders on anymore. And I wanted to be around that a little bit more because I was just coming out of my journey of taking my blinders off. So it was refreshing to be around so many people that evening who just didn't have an agenda, their blinders were gone, and it was just like, whatever you want for us today, God.
And it's so random that it would have ended up being any kind of business networking thing, because that's not why I went.
Right.
It's not why you were there.
Right.
I didn't know at that time that I would be running the radios.
No,
by my show as the host, and I didn't know that I would be looking for people who wanted to share their stories. But that night, God impressed upon you to give me your book, even before you knew what I did. So, and I went home and I read it until like 3 in the morning, and it was so amazing. And of course, I had to read all of it, which is why I was up until 3. But then I think I had called you the next day and said, it was so amazing, but I wish I could tell you why, but I stayed up really late. So I'm going to have to look back at all the things I underlined.
That's right. I just kept hearing in God's people's, in his hands. And we haven't done a lot of promotions around the book. We haven't done a lot of book signings. You know, we just launched it for an event at my church. And so that evening, I spoke with one of the leaders and I said, I really feel like I just want to give some away. And just if there's somebody in the room, one person in the room can hear Victim to Victory, Tragedy to Triumph, maybe it'll help them. And my other co-leader, my table leader, was not there. And by the end of the evening, when I don't know, there was just something about you. It was like this little light was shining on you, like, she's the one. And so I just felt like I wanted to share it with you. Because it's really just my story. It's like, it's a summation of me talking for 6 hours. And you just get to read it, right?
Well, that's really nice, though, because whenever I met you, I wanted to hear you talk for 6 hours. But I didn't have time because I had 3 kids and I had school the next day and so on and so forth. And you probably didn't have time. So I appreciate you putting out there. Now, you were telling me that you were feeling like you had some more books that God wants you to give away. So what did he lay on your heart to give them to who?
Today, for whoever wants to post Bring It Radio on their Facebook page. You know, I'm new to this. I'd never even heard of Fishbowl Radio Network until I met you and, you know, meeting Nate today and stuff. So this is a great network here right in our hometown, local community. People love to support local things. And so before I left, I was literally walking out the door and I was like, ta-da. And so I ran upstairs and I grabbed 3 books. So if you would like to post FBRN.us on your Facebook, then we will get you a free book.
Okay, awesome. And we have 3, so I guess that's to the people who do it first, right? We'll let God be in charge of that. So thank you guys for tuning in today. And I want to jump right into what Demora's story is. But before that, I want to go ahead and pray and just ask that God will speak to you specifically and to your heart specifically through his spirit and speak to you directly, because it's great to hear other people's stories, but sometimes you kind of think, but what does this have to do with me, and where do I go from here? So let's just pray and ask him for that wisdom. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today, and Father, I ask that right now that every person within the sound of my voice will just be drawn to you, Father, that your spirit will be alive in their lives, and they'll be able to see you, and they'll be able to know how to seek you, know how to know you better. And I just ask that as Demora shares her story, that you will give them wisdom for their story and for what you're doing in their life, and that you'll show them the next step. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I wanted to start by, if you could give sort of an overview, and then we can dig into more details about your story. That would be awesome.
Well, it really started about 5 years ago. I was attending a Danny Johnson event. It's a business training. And the Holy Spirit just really overtook me, and I had kind of an epiphany of, I am falling apart at the seams, even though I look okay on the outside, and I'm trying to keep my cute boots on and my curly hair, and, you know, we're trying to keep it all together, and, I mean, it's just like today, like, when you get on Facebook, everybody's posting all this great stuff, but nobody's really being real, and I just, everywhere I saw, it was just like imposters everywhere. Nobody would be real, and I had so much pain inside, it overwhelmed me that Jesus's joy wasn't greater than my pain. And so I just, after I had that epiphany, then I ended up in Nicaragua on a mission trip with my husband at Mission Par Cristo, and Donna and Benny are just like family to us. And I sat down with this woman named Sydney who had an abusive past, and we just cried and cried and cried and cried. And I was just like, how can my pain be greater than Jesus's joy? And I kept searching and searching and searching but I'd still find myself crying in the closet mm-hmm. Of everything I had gone through. And so I was just, this whole quest was just like, I have to be real. I have to come out with all of my muddy little secrets. I have to tell the world who I really am, because I can't stand holding it in anymore. I can't be fake anymore. I can't be an imposter. Mm-hmm. I have to be real. And I think that's what Jesus calls us to be, is real, because that is his story in me, and him living, you know, redemption and forgiveness and overcoming. That is Jesus. It's his life, you know? So sharing that story became like my main purpose. And Alicia and I, she was going through a lot of stuff, and we just kind of joined together, and it really, it took 4 years to kind of put it all on paper, because mm-hmm. we were reliving the pain over and over again. But it was such a healing process. So I really do want to tell people today, for being real and honest, it really is where you're going to find the peace in your life. Whatever that thing is that's just nitpicking at you over and over and over again that you can't seem to give to God, that's the one that as soon as you give it to him, the greatest peace is going to come from. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of how it all started.
Well, very awesome. Well, I know our listeners are looking forward to hearing the rest, but we wanted to play a song for you guys today. We wanted to play you 10th Avenue North, You Are More, because it's just, it's a phenomenal song about even when we're broken, even where we've been, that God knows that. He uses us right where we are. He doesn't use us once we're all together. So listen to that, enjoy, and we'll be right back.
There's a girl in the corner with tear stains on her eyes from the places she's wandered and the shame she can't hide. She says, how did I get here? I'm not who I once was, and I'm crippled by the fear that I've fallen too far to love. But don't you know who you are, what has been done for you? Don't you know who you are? You are more than the choice that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. Well, she tries to believe it, that she's been given new life. Oh, but she can't shake the feeling, well, that it's not true tonight. She knows all the answers, and she's rehearsed all the lines. And so she'll try to do better, but then she's too weak to try. Oh, but don't you know who you are? You are more than the choice that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. Of your past mistakes, you are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You are more than the choice.
Hey guys, this is Mindy with Bring It Radio. We're right here in the Fishbowl Radio Network in the Gospel Bowl. Thank you for joining us today. We have Nate running the boards for us, which I so appreciate. And then we have Dimmer Robbins here sharing about her story and about what God's done in her life. So I hope you got to hear kind of the beginning, but we just kind of gave you a snapshot of it. So if you're jumping in late, go ahead and join us because you haven't missed too much. So Dimmer, thank you again so much for coming in and sharing today, because sometimes having pain and sharing it with others is a very uncomfortable thing.
This is Fishbowl Radio Network, by the way.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Nate. I asked him to help me out with that.
Hence the big sign on the wall, the Fishbowl Radio Network. Here we are.
Over there and over here.
I'm going to have to start looking sideways. I'm just looking outside. It's beautiful.
Beautiful view up here. I love this studio. It's so great.
So anyways, Dimmer, I was looking in your book, and one of the things that really I remembered there being the picture that you had of your girl's muddy feet. And I know you probably have lots of little stories you'd like to share, but I'd love for you to share that with our listeners.
Well, and that, again, when I said before the break, was when I saw that picture, my husband took it. He took our daughters camping. We had three kids, but the girls get to go, and then the boys get to go. So they were camping, and they were playing in the mud, and he just sent me this cute little picture of, like, look how fun we're having in the mud. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, it's just like, oh, so cute, and they're just precious little painted toes, but there's just all this heavy mud caked on top. And so it resonated with me when I saw that picture of, you know, not just me, but like everybody walking around with just this heavy burdens on us, and this just muddy past or sin or just how we don't even like ourselves sometimes. And I just wanted to just wash it off, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's such a cute little, I mean, their little toes are so squinchable, but the mud is really a representation of all the gunk in our life that we need to lay down for God.
Mm-hmm. Well, and don't you feel, I feel like that sometimes that mud that we don't even know how to operate without. Like, it's become just who we are. And just be like, if we never washed our feet and then we just walked around and just collected more and more and more. But yet that really hides, like you said, that light and that joy that Jesus came so that we would have this full life, this abundant life that would be filled with his love, so we could be his hands, so we could touch others. And yet, like, you know, it's really, really difficult to do that.
Right. And so many people don't know how to get the mud off. Mm-hmm. So they're walking around, or if it's become, that's their comfort. It's their new comfort. It kind of becomes their idol, in a way. And I know for me, that was the, for me growing up in the house where I was, I mean, I started out with, I wasn't even supposed to be born. My mom was so sick that the doctor said, you don't need to carry this baby, you know, and it didn't come out in a nice way, like, oh, honey, we saved your life. It came out in a really ugly phone call from my mom, just being hurt one night and not knowing what she was saying. And, you know, she's just,
you were an adult already, right?
I was an adult. I was on a business trip with my company, Manatech, and I'm like, why is my mother leaving me this message about me, you know? So I call my dad, and I'm like, what is she talking about? And he's like, yeah, she was so sick. And as soon as I came out, she had surgery, and I came out early. I wasn't supposed to live. I was in the incubator for 7 weeks. They didn't name me for 2 days. And so, you know, Jesus had already, like, saved me, and I wasn't even supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, life as it happens, the mud just kept caking on, and it starts generationally. You know, the generational sin that passes down, it's a propensity in your family. And my mother's mother had also had a lot of mud caked on her, and just heavy, heavy burdens and heavy stuff. And so then my mother grows up, and she's trying to keep it all together until she starts to unravel. Mm-hmm. And she coped with it in ways that are not really great, you know, which a lot of us cope with it with shopping or cleaning or, you know, smoking or drugs or eating or whatever. And my mom coped with it with, you know, drinking and kind of wanting to end her life because she just thought it'd be easier to not be here.
Right. And that's something I want our listeners to hear is today, ask yourself, is there anything that I'm doing that is really just me coping instead of I'm doing it because I love to do it?
That's
because
right.
A lot of times you don't even know that's why you're doing it. You don't know that that's why you're like, you know, I'm going to watch my favorite show and then I'm going to be better.
Right, right.
But if you need that show so that you feel better, then you're not looking at
that's
something.
Right.
You're pushing something down. And so as that pain builds, then that's when it builds into the alcohol abuse and the things that are much more obvious to other people.
Right.
But it starts in really small ways.
It does. And everybody, and you don't realize it's become your idol until it's too late. I mean, I still have a cleaning thing and a busy thing and a working thing, and I want to just stay busy so I don't have to think about what's bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that busyness and trying to be everything to everybody became my idol for a lot of years, because I didn't really want anybody to know what I had really done in high school, what had really happened to me, or what I was living through.
Mm-hmm.
I had neighbors who, you know, saw what was going on. I have best friends in high school that, I mean, still today, they witnessed it with me. They know what happened. And, you know, and I love my mom, and I love my dad, and I love my stepmom, and I love my in-laws are fantastic, but life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that mud seems like, oh, we just don't know what to do, how to get it off. And so for me, as a young girl, in a home where I didn't really feel like I was worth living for, mm-hmm. basically, is what the persona I took on, and it wasn't what she was giving me, it was what I took on as a kid, that I wasn't worth living for. And so, you know, with all of those, I guess, failed attempts or threats, it just chipped away at me like I wasn't worth it. So I started working to try and be the best I could be, always.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be the cheerleader. I wanted to be on homecoming court. I wanted to make straight A's. I wanted to be the good little girl. And the more I tried for that, which is another point, that the more you strive towards something, the harder it is. The more you hold on to it, and God says, give it to me. So the more I tried for that, the more I fell back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked for love in all the wrong places. I talk about it in my book. I fell in love with a little handsome hunk in high school, ended up getting pregnant twice. And so mm-hmm. as my life began where I was supposed to be aborted, then I ended up having two abortions in high school and didn't tell a soul, because, I mean, we had police at our house, and it was a chaotic, you know, time, even though there was love in our home, and I had the hardest working dad in the entire world, and I knew I was loved. There's just always something in every home. So you never know what's happening behind somebody's closed doors, even if it's a mansion or if it's a rundown, you know, apartment. You never know what's happening. And so we just can't judge other people on where they spend their money, what they look like, what they're going through. If they cut you off in traffic, maybe they're rushing to the hospital because their mom is dying, you know.
Right, you have no idea.
You have no idea. Mm-hmm. And so I just walked around for so long trying to be so perfect. And then after I had my own children and I felt those babies moving in my belly, I just lost it, and my healing kind of began there. And I started realizing that was the core. It wasn't even my mother. It was what I had done. It was my choices that had taken me down to the depths of my soul, that God wanted me to surrender all of that, because I can't control other people. I can't control how other people cope with their mechanisms. My husband can't control my cleaning, you know, coping. I'm always like picking stuff up before he even can set it down. But for me, I just needed to clear away the cobwebs. And it started as a physical manifestation, and then it moved inward. And so that's where I encourage people to, whenever you feel it moving inward, you start getting freaked out. Like, what if somebody finds out? What if somebody knows? And really, the more you tell it, the more peace you have. And I mean, writing down everything you've ever done that's bad in a book, like, who wants to do that, right? I mean, it's not
Nate, how about volunteer?
No, I mean, you know, it's like, it's not something. And when I felt like God was telling me to do that, I'm like, are you crazy? I mean, but I feel like that's how he moves in our lives. He pushes us to the edge and says, how much do you trust me? Are you going to give enough because you trust I'm going to give it back? Are you going to love enough because you know I'm going to love you even if they don't? I mean, are you going to put yourself out there because he's going to carry you through? And so for me, I had to surrender it all. I knew he had my husband and my kids. I knew he had my mom, even though she was still in turmoil. I knew he had my sisters and my nieces and nephews who were being raised by grandparents. There was just so much turmoil in our life. Even when I met my husband 3 weeks in, my roommate's husband had gotten shot and murdered in Oakland, and it was my sister's CPS court case. And I'm like, welcome to the family, honey. And this is why I knew I was going to marry Ryan, because he just embraced. He'd sit. I was having all these health challenges because I was just so stressed out. And he just embraced it. And he really was the hands and feet to me in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he has taught me over time, because other than my father, I didn't really have a good example of just that sitting down like Mary at Jesus's feet and just listening, no matter what comes out of their mouth. It could be hurtful. It could be their deepest, darkest secret, with no judgment, no shame, no condemnation. And so he's really shown me that, he and his family. And it's been a great, peaceful healing for me after the book came out, of just like, okay, I don't have any more secrets. I am who I am. And I have to please God. And if you don't like me, then that's okay.
Yeah.
I like myself now because I'm not hiding anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crying in the closet anymore, trying to keep it all together and look cute in my little skinny jeans and boots. who cares? You know, right. If we haven't washed our hair in 3 days and our kids are a mess and misbehaving, this is life and it's messy and we all have mud, no matter who you are, how much money you make, where you live, if you look perfect, if you don't look perfect, everybody has mud.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I found it really interesting whenever I'm in Bible study now, but it's like several years ago that I was in Bible study with a really big group of people. Like, I want to say there were 10 people at a table. And it was so interesting. The people that were the least fixed up, the least you could, you know, they had to, obviously they had time, they showered, they got out everything together, they matched. The people that didn't have that going on were probably more together, actually, mm-hmm. or more whole than the people that had all that done. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of them saying to me something about that I just, you know, obviously didn't understand because I always had my makeup just so, or I always, you know, looked cute or whatever. Yeah. And, like, I just looked at her and was like, the fact that when you see me, I'm together means that I'm actually so broken that I can't show up not together. That's or right. I would just fall apart. So the fact that you can walk around and be like, you know what, this is me, people. Mm-hmm. You like me or hate me, I don't care. Jesus loves me. That actually says something about you and about his strength in you and where he's brought you to. And thankfully, he has brought me to that place now. But I remember at the time just being like, wow, like, how did they leave their house and still hold their head up?
Yeah.
Because I could leave the house not put together, but I would just be so ashamed. Like, I'm so sorry, world. I didn't get ready to meet you today. You right. know, and I'm right. I'm not prepared. I've got nothing to give you. But if I had fixed up, then I felt like I had something to bring, and yeah. maybe there was a reason I was here. Like you said, so you're working to do that. So I really would challenge people, when you see people at any level mm-hmm. of fixed up or not fixed up or recently showered or not, stop just seeing that. I mean, right. start just seeing that person and the qualities they have and
right.
and who God made them to be.
Right.
Because it's really a beautiful thing. And all that other stuff is just distractions.
And sometimes that can only happen in a conversation because mm-hmm. we're still, you know, we live in a fallen world. We still judge with our eyes, mm-hmm. no matter who we are. And so a conversation typically needs to take place. And as soon as you open up and create that common ground, it's just like, oh, we did something at Journey to Dream, one of my favorite local charities, my girlfriend Kim Hinkle. I spoke at that last year. It's a gala. They're building some housing for homeless teenagers in mm-hmm. Louisville. And she does this thing called Common Ground. And she came and did it at our Reclaimed event as well. And she asks people if you know an alcoholic, if there's an alcoholic in your house, if somebody's committed suicide, if somebody's had an abortion, if somebody's pregnant, if somebody's divorced, if somebody has depression, if somebody's, you know, made an F, whatever. She goes through this list, and by the time you're done, the entire room is standing. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, open your eyes. Everybody around you has something, and we're all intertwined and connected together. So really, our only job here, and my only job today, like I prayed about, what should I share? What do I want to say? Really, my only job is to be real, is to just say, you know what? We can be the modern day Nehemiahs, Josephs, Esthers, Davids. No matter what we've done, we can still be the apple of God's eye mm-hmm. if we open up and just share who we really are. And don't be afraid to be yourself. Because Nehemiah, I mean, he asked, okay, the king sees him and he's in there and he's weepy and he's like, you know, what's wrong? And he's telling him about his people. And then he prays before he talks to the king, which is the first thing. And then he asks, he would like a letter to the other king for timber. He would like a letter for safe travels. And he gets it. He gets God's favor. And then when he gets there, he's got all this oppression coming on mm-hmm. him. And he's working with one hand and fighting with the other. And Tobiah's after him and all this stuff. And then the priest, how many of us would have given up? I mean, opposition came to him more than four times in mm-hmm. building that wall. And he could have given up at any given point. And I know people who've given up here, 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 and here. And so I've just made a promise to myself that I'm not giving up. Because life can be messy and hard, and you know it's not all daisies and roses, especially when you have three kids, like I know you do. Some days your schedule is not your own, you know, mm-hmm. or going out and there's a temper tantrum going on. But we are the representation of Jesus to them. We are showing them and everyone around us how to deal with conflict, how to deal with past feelings and emotions and hurt, how to communicate. And so I tell myself all the time, like, we can do this. We can build this wall in 52 days. I mean, it was a mm-hmm. miracle. It was a miracle, and they had so much oppression on them. And that's how you take the mud off, is just that first step, and to pray and repent and to ask. And forgiveness really only takes one. And that was my hardest, I think, was forgiving myself. You know, I'd forgiven my mom. I'd forgiven my sisters. I'd forgiven everybody, my parents. I mean, but forgiving me, that's a whole different story. And so that took a long time for me. And my husband kept telling me, don't you know you were forgiven? And I just kept thinking, no, once maybe, but twice? No way. And so forgiving myself was the hardest thing. So if that's one thing you can take away from today, is just look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, I am a beautiful child of God. I'm here for a purpose, and I am forgiven and set free for whatever I want to do. And some days we're doing something totally different than what we thought we might be doing, because God has us on a different plan. And, you know, they're not little life's interruptions. They're like divine appointments. Mm-hmm. Like us that night. I mean, I was supposed to have four other people at the table, and they canceled the last minute. So you ended up at my table, and now we have this great friendship. So it's just these little divine appointments of how God is steering us all to our own healing, to become whole. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and God can use each of us in each other's lives to be his hands and feet, like mm-hmm. you said about your husband, to be that person that's just there listening, yeah. not judging. And because there's, I know that you cannot find healing, you will not find healing spending time with other people and not with Jesus.
Right.
I mean, frankly, you have got to spend time in his word. You've got to spend time reading it and saying, God, I feel like this is true, but you say this is true, and I'm going to believe what you say over the way I feel. And you have to do that process. But I know that he loves bringing in those other people and those other little pieces of things, or your favorite song comes on the radio, to encourage you to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he does have an amazing plan for us, but if we don't keep getting up,
right,
we don't get to experience it, we don't get to be a part of it. And yeah, I think you're definitely right with the persevering. But I think that also it's easier to persevere once that mud is gone, wouldn't you say? Because mm-hmm. when that mud is on, you're carrying it all
yes.
with you. So every
yes.
time you go, I have to get up today, then you've got right. a whole load to carry
right.
with you.
Right.
And so anyways, I wanted us to go to break, and y'all listen to the song The After's Broken Hallelujah and Plum Need You Now. Both of those songs have just spoken to Demora
right.
and spoken to me at some of the hard times. And sometimes when you're just like, I don't know how to cry out to you right now, God, but I really need you,
mm-hmm.
music can be a great source. So y'all enjoy, and we will be back soon.
Everything's crashing down, and I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray, I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear my heart.
Hallelujah. tired of holding on.
Hey, this is Mindy, and we are on the Fishbowl Radio Network. This is Bring It Radio, and we're here in the Gospel Bowl on Wednesdays, 11 to 1. We're so glad that you joined us today. I'm here in studio with Nate, and he's being so kind and running the board for us, since this is kind of a new thing, me being a host right now without my co-host, Michelle. And right now we have Dimra here, and she has just been sharing her story of what God's been doing. So whenever we were last talking, we were talking about Nehemiah. And Dimmer and I were talking about how maybe there's some of you that don't know who Nehemiah is. So we wanted to give you like just a little bit of a backstory, because I grew up in church. And so from the time I was very small, I heard all the stories and all these names. And it was really eye-opening whenever I met some new family members that joined by marriage in our family. And there were all these people that didn't know who Moses was, or didn't know who Noah was. And I was thinking, like, I mean, I've only heard that story like a million times. And so I know that you've tuned into the Gospel Bowl, and so I want to be sure we don't assume that you know that, because maybe you're tuning into the Gospel Bowl because you are seeking God and you want to know Him better, and maybe you've started studying His Word, but you haven't gotten to all of it. And there's a lot. There's a lot of His story to tell. So I know that I'm not going to be able to give you a correct date, so I'm not going to try. Nehemiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, so before Jesus came, and it was whenever God's people, Israel, was, you know, there was Judah and Israel. Okay, now I'm just confusing it. Anyways, God had his people that he had called. He had delivered them from all kinds of things through the years, and they were not obeying him anymore. They had been doing other things, they'd been worshiping other gods, and he had allowed them to be carried off into captivity. And so they were not in their homeland anymore. And the walls of Jerusalem were actually, which Jerusalem was their home, was all broken down. And so Nehemiah was, he worked in the king's place at this other king and this other country they served, and God just laid it on his heart that God wanted now to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild their home, and to make it a place they could go back to and worship him again. So that's kind of a background on who Nehemiah was. He was just a guy who was seeking God.
Right.
He was spending time with God and asking God for direction, and God kind of gave him a huge mission, a huge undertaking. I kind of wonder if whenever God started talking to him about that, if he didn't say, is there somebody else you want to ask, or like a team member or something you want to send? Right. And so that's who Nehemiah was. So I wanted to catch y'all up on that, and we wanted to talk a few more minutes just about.
And the interesting thing about Nehemiah is, I was reading right here, his name means the Lord comforts. And so, like, for me, I didn't grow up knowing these stories. And so when I started going to church with my husband, I really started learning all these stories, and then I just like devoured the word because I just wanted to know more. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be more spiritually mature, but I just wanted to know my interpretation, not a man's interpretation of the word.
Right.
So for me, you know, diving in, and what I love about Nehemiah is, you know, being the cupbearer, is that he could have not cared what was happening to his people.
Yeah, because he was in a pretty cush job.
Yeah, he could have not cared, but he had so much compassion that he looked sad, and the king asked him, you know, why are you so sad? He could have just been like, I'm good, forget them, which mm-hmm. I think is happening a lot in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my husband and I, he's so wise. We had this talk last week. I was like bawling and crying to him on the phone, and he's like, it's because you care, honey. And I'm like, oh, thank you. You're right. That's why I just can't not handle this. It's because I care so much.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense to me. And his name means the Lord comforts. So, and then what they did, they, you know, they rebuilt it in 52 days, and they could only do that with the help of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so he walked out in faith and stepped out in faith. And I know one thing in stepping out in faith and writing the book, as we were talking about, it didn't come overnight every day. It was sometimes.
Did you contact a publisher and say, hey, I would like to write a book for you?
No.
Could
no.
you give me an advance?
Yeah, no, I didn't do any of that. It was just like, I couldn't sleep at night, or I would have like a great prayer session and it would just come pouring out. I'd be away and not have any distractions, and it would just come pouring out. And so I think that's why it took so long, is it was just a little, and it was also me letting myself open up.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us, when we have wounds, you don't just rip off the Band-Aid. You kind of slowly, you know. So I just slowly was opening the door a little at a time, and the story started coming out.
Mm. Well, and it's interesting how I already consider myself to be a very open person. I already feel like there's a lot of wounds, and it's just like, here they are. I mean, God do something great with them. But I was trying to write down the other day some stuff, and it's so much harder to write it because it like makes it real.
Right.
And I was like,
right.
This is weird. Like, I thought I already had this all out, but I haven't had it in print mm-hmm. in front of me. So we're going to talk some more. Whenever we come back, we're going to pay some bills. I'm glad you guys are listening. And I wanted to jump right back in where we left off with Demra's story, because we were talking about whenever people have mud, which are going, mud? What? You know, it's not even rainy outside. I guess it'd be more appropriate on a rainy day. But in life, things happen. Life is hard. We all kind of build up different things that come at us, and it sticks to us. And if we don't let Jesus continually wash that away, then we are carrying that with us. And so we're talking about being honest with each other. We're talking about being able to tell somebody else, hey, I'm not really doing okay, and I'm trying to get there, and will you be praying for me? Because that's the journey I'm on right now. And it was when you really first started opening up like that, that then you didn't you feel like all of a sudden like, wow, I'm not nearly as alone as I thought.
Right, that's exactly right. And as soon as I started telling people, and they're like, oh, you have a book, and they're like, well, I still don't really associate myself as an author because it's just my story. It's just mm-hmm. God working through me. But I have found so many other people that I am serious. This one precious woman I was talking to last week, she said her counselor told her most people I've counseled that would have gone through this would have been like in a padded room. Like they have had so much. And so for one, it kind of takes the speck out of your own, you know, the plank out of your eye, and the speck, it just makes you see other people. They have their mud too, and we think ours is so thick and we just can't handle this one little thing, but there really are other problems that are so much heavier. However, your problem is big to you and your own thing, so it's not selfish to focus on your problem. I think Jesus wants us to come clean and talk about our problems. He wants us to open up and share what's going on because it helps all of us feel like our burden is a little bit lighter when we all know we're dealing with something. And that starts with one, try not to be perfect. And there's this whole perfectionism, and I mean, I still love to dress my kids all cutesy and all that stuff and matchy-matchy, but there are some days it just doesn't happen, you know? And
or if it did, that they come home and they don't still look like that.
Right.
And you're like, what was that for?
And then all these teenagers that are comparing themselves nowadays, you know, I just want to tell them, you grow up to be a 40-year-old woman and you're still comparing yourself to other people.
Well, and they're comparing themselves sometimes to what they who they think everybody else is. Like sometimes we're comparing our worst self, like the us that just wakes up in the morning and here we are and we haven't even brushed our teeth yet, and we're comparing that to somebody else's best, like their absolute best moments that they're putting on Facebook or whatever, and you're going, wow, I mean, that, look at that, they made their kids like these homemade, you know, nothing artificial, everything, like they grew the wheat in their backyard for those pancakes that they, you know, and then they carved the pumpkin this morning, and then they set this beautiful table, and and it's just, it's really, you know, you and I grew up when there wasn't Facebook and there wasn't all of these images of things so perfect coming at you, but you still kind of had this mental picture of what some people's mornings was like, and yours was not anything like it, right. And you're going, oh, if I could be like them, that would be good. Well, now we're even more inundated with all these different images. And something God really showed me a few years ago, whenever I still was suffering with migraines a lot, and I was in bed over 50% of the week, every week, and I had kids to raise, and I had plenty of things to stress about and think, well, the house is falling apart and whatever, and I felt like Jesus just came and he was just there with me, and he just comforted me and said, look, you can do what I've called you to do today. I will give you enough strength. I will give you enough energy. I will give you enough focus. I'll give you whatever resources you need to do what I needed you to do today. And that might be laying in bed
and resting
and being in pain and surrendering that pain to me and using this time to pray for your family instead of being a cycle of anxiety about what wasn't happening.
Right. That's right. And we really don't even know what true Sabbath is now. You know, I always talk about how we're just always go, go, go. And are we teaching our children that go, go, go is okay? Because when this past Sunday we were home and we just sat on the couch, my kids and I, they're so cute, they're little. And I said, let's just close our eyes and let's just read some verses and let's just, what's the first thing that pops in your head? My little one, who's only six, has cried to me and said, Mommy, I cry out to God, but I don't hear him. So I'm like, well, sometimes you don't hear his voice. And some people don't know that God wants to talk to them because they're one, too busy. They won't be quiet enough to listen, which I did for years. Remember my...
Or you give God a timeline.
Yes.
I have about 15 minutes right now. Could you speak?
And do it quickly because I've got a million other things to do to put in front of you. And so when we sat on the couch, it was just like letting them hear the words. And my nine-year-old son heard, superb. And my oldest daughter heard beautiful, and she kind of teared up when she said it, and then my little one was like, I didn't hear anything. And so, you know,
you're like, that's okay, it's a learning
process. It's a learning process, but just letting them know. And so I told him what I heard, you know, I heard what he was telling me for them, and just resting, snuggling with your kids, taking time. And a lot of us are addicted to which I just now, last year, after writing the book, it was just kind of like, okay, I need to say no to everything. I need to stop volunteering 100 hours at the school. I need to just stop being everything to everybody else and just be quiet and listen and say, who am I? Okay, I've woken up and I'm 40 and I've put all my muddy little secrets out there. Who am I and what do I want to do and who am I to be and what am I supposed to say? And if I keep going, 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 going and never resting and never stopping, then I'm teaching my children to never rest. And I'm also not giving enough time to like my husband and family and service and community. and all these great things we want to be involved in, but we're too busy.
Well, and we forget that our family, they're the only person that can be their mom, yeah, or their wife or their aunt or their mm-hmm. grandma, whatever your role is, their sister, the only person that can be that is you.
That's right.
And so there's all these great things like PTA that I believe that God does have seasons of your life that he wants you to go and be involved and pour into those teachers mm-hmm. and whatever.
Amazing.
And there's
ladies.
All these other amazing ministries, and then there's mission trips, and there's so many things. But I think that he wants us to remember, and I think time with him, he will remind you, you are the first minister to mm-hmm. your family and those people I've put right in the middle of your life.
That's
and
right.
So when you feel like their love tanks are, you're able to be giving to them, and whether it fills them up or not, because see mm-hmm. that's not your responsibility, but
right.
but that you're asking God, how can I minister to them, and then you have some left over, then you go, okay, so where else, God, where? And I really believe if everybody would be listening and saying no until I hear God say go here,
right,
I'm going to be here waiting,
right,
I do think that all of those opportunities and all of those slots and stuff that would be filled. I mean, our mm-hmm. God is not a God of
that's right
lack. He's not a God of, well, we were going to try to make this happen, but it didn't really. I mean, he's the God of, like, he showed up and, like,
he shows up and shows off.
He shows off. And so it's just, I think that sometimes when we start, especially churches, when they're like, we need volunteers, that's the wrong focus. I mean, because God will bring the volunteers, God will mm-hmm. bring the people to do what he wants done. And sometimes right. we have to release our plans to him and say, right. is my plan your plan, God?
Right. There's this great lady at our church, Kimberly Holmes. She started this thing called Bible Hour. I mean, such a big thing for her to do, but wow, was she called to do it, and she did it. So sometimes there are seasons where you are called to do great things, and they do them. You're being mm-hmm. called to be the PTA president. You're being called to be resting in your bed all day for months. You're being called to be the room mom. You're being called to be, you know, what, the chauffeur of the year, or this is my kids and their sports.
There should be an award for the chauffeur
of the
year.
And the team mom. Yes, there should. And the snack mom and all that stuff. But there are times, and I feel like sometimes we don't say no because of the pressure of mm-hmm. wanting to please everybody else. So it's like walking out of your house without the makeup on. We're still worried about what other people are going to think if we're not there.
Right.
Even if we don't show up at church tonight, or if we don't show up at the party at school, we're still looking like to other people for approval, when really all we needed to hear today was, what did God want me to do? If he wants me here and he wants me to be PTA president, then I'm going to do it with all my heart, just like in Nehemiah. It says in chapter 4, verse 6, the people worked with all their heart. So no matter what it is, whether mm-hmm. you are home changing diapers all day, or whether you are a big CEO working in a, you know, radio station here behind with your headphones on and talking sports like Nate does all day, that is what we do with all our hearts, pouring mm-hmm. into our kids, pouring into our family, because our first mission field, that is right in front of us.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, sometimes whenever you work in a secular world, you think, oh, well, I didn't grow up to be a missionary. I mean, my husband and I talked a lot about, we both grew up in church, and so there was this sense of, you're called to be a pastor, mm-hmm. or you're called to be a missionary. And if you're not called to do one of those two things, then, you know, you live your life, you study your Bible, you know, you have Jesus change and work in you, and you love on people. But that's really all it is. And it was like, as we got older, that it was like, no, God calls every single one of us to
Absolutely.
Be his hands, to be his feet. And his spirit enables us. It's not right. that we're going around able to do everything for everybody. His spirit directs, his spirit enables. And there are some of the greatest ministers, and that have had the biggest, like, effect on the kingdom of God, that they were not paid. They weren't on staff anywhere. They weren't a part of a big ministry name. I think it's Dwight L. Moody, that he actually was with, you know, there was a Sunday school teacher from when he was younger, or that he worked with at a shoe store. I'm sorry. Next time, guys, I'll try to find the real story for you, because I want you to know the details. So I'll bring that next week. I'll have the details of the story. But anyways, there was this one person that was just doing what they did, loving Jesus, being in the Word, and saw him and just knew that God wanted him to minister. And so he planted seeds, and he planted seeds, and he planted seeds. And then at some point, Dwight L. Moody comes to know Jesus, and, I mean, his ministry and his impacted so many people that God didn't call that other guy to be Dwight L. Moody.
Right.
He called him to be faithful and to be available.
Right. And I tell my kids, you you have a purpose, and you are the only one. Like you said, you're the only one that can fill it. So sometimes when I think and I look back at my story, and I'm excited Nate is going to share his portion as well. Sometimes we realize, like, I mean, I say in the book, like, okay, God, I was in the wrong line the day you gave out Lots of Life, because I didn't want this one anymore. I was tired of my pain. I was tired of the recurring abuse. I was tired of just, why can't we just be a Beaver Cleaver family for one day? I just want to be happy and come home with no yelling, no screaming. You know, I mean, why did I do that? Why can't I forgive myself? I mean, this constant, like, really, we berate ourselves when nobody else really knows what's going on. We are our worst enemy. And so for me, comparing myself to other people, and then here's Alicia, the co-author. Her son is born with a genetic defect, and he passes away before he's even two, and you're like, oh my heavens, that pain. The pain that she has gone through and what their family went through to overcome that, and the striving, and they lost everything, and the medical bills, and just awful. I mean, just wrecks you. And really, that is when you have that broken hallelujah moment where the only thing you can do is throw up your hands and say, I raise my empty hands to you because I have nothing left. I don't know why I'm here or why you chose me or why I did that or why it's been done to me. Because a lot of the people I've met since I've written the book is I've met other people where, see, I chose part of my story. I didn't choose my mother's pain, but I chose my pain of getting pregnant as a child. And these other people, they did not choose that. Someone did that to them. They had no choice in it. And then they wonder, why? Why me?
Right.
And instead, we should be asking, why not me? Why not me? There's so many other people in this world, and how great that God entrusted me with this story. So, Nate, will you share your story? I'd love it.
Where do you want me to start?
Well, Nate, I just want to say, first off, Nate, when I first came to the radio station, he was always sitting in the conference room working on his computer, and I just assumed he was like a really big computer guy, and he did all the computer stuff for the... Later, I found out he was just there prepping for a show, because this was before his promotion. But I love following him on Facebook. If you guys don't follow him currently, you should. He has the funniest little things that he puts out there. But one day, you put out just a really vulnerable, real post about your story and about your mom and what she was told whenever she was pregnant with you. So if you could share some of that. And when we're talking about taking mud off, to all our listeners, that was what I was so impressed with about Nate. When I saw this on Facebook, I thought, dude, I mean, people will sometimes tell you their story, but rarely will they just put it out there for just anybody to see. And I was so amazed.
Well, like you said, I was almost aborted when my mom was pregnant with me. Doctors advised her that I would probably turn out to be mentally challenged, and I don't know what they thought. I don't know what they thought would make her want to not have me. So, and she flat out disagreed with them. I mean, obviously, saying that she was going to raise me no matter what.
And that takes a strong lady.
Strong woman.
Not only that, but the doctors were wrong. Doctors were wrong. That's not to say that there hasn't been complications, because there has. I have cerebral palsy, and I have hydrocephalus. I have had 4 brain operations in my lifetime. First one being when I was 5 weeks old.
Wow.
Second one when I was 5 years old. Third one, 16 years old. And then the fourth one, and most recent, 20 years old. So that's 8 years.
So God provided for those things, and he gave your mom grace, and you grace, to walk that. Because that probably hasn't been easy to have that many surgeries. I haven't had many surgeries, but the ones I've had, I remember them, and they aren't good memories.
I've had 5 altogether. The fifth one was a tonsillectomy.
And then you were like, yeah, I'm like everybody else. Everybody gets their tonsils out.
Not everybody. There's some people older than me that haven't had them out.
Yeah.
How grateful are you when you think of your mom and how strong she was standing up to the doctors? How grateful are you?
Extremely.
Yeah.
Extremely. But it also gives me an appreciation for how short life is. Because the brain operation that I have, part of hydrocephalus is I have to have a plastic tube in my head for it to drain toxic spinal fluids from my brain down to my stomach. Honestly, it's plastic. It's man-made plastic. Sometimes that can snap and break, and I have to have it, you know, replaced. Like in the past, it's because I've been literally growing too fast, and it just kind of snapped in half, replaced 4 times.
Well, and it's funny because when I first, you know, the A word, abortion, is really not talked about, you know, unless you're
going
political or something like that. And for me, it's not political at all. It's a matter of life and death, and we don't get to choose. And, you know, for me, when I started coming out and thinking like, oh my goodness, I still thought I was pro-choice because I thought I had to be, because I had made that choice as a scared teenager who didn't want to go home and put my mother over the edge. And my husband kept going, no, God has changed your heart, honey. You know now that I've felt that, you know, and I write in the book, like, for women who are 5 weeks or they're going through infertility pain of wanting to have a baby, even though they can't feel it and it's just a little embryo in there, they know it's a baby in their in their body, and I've felt it grow, and like, that's when I lost it, was, oh my goodness. And so when I would talk with some of my pro-choice friends, because I have friends of all genres and liberal and Democrat and Republican and all kinds of stuff, and they're like, no, how can you not be pro-choice? I'm like, but what if your mom had aborted you? We would not be talking to you right now. You would not have the show. You would not have your life. You would not have the influence that you have. And
you wouldn't be making people laugh all the time with your notes on life.
And so when I asked that question, they were like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Like, we just wouldn't. But then, of course, you have the, well, I wouldn't have even known what I've been missing out on. But God would know. And all the ripples that you create when you are born and your life and all these people's lives that you touch, all of that goes back if that was taken away. And so we really do have the power to change this wave and talk about it. You know, it's kind of taboo to talk about it, but if we start talking about it, and even for me, and I don't want to get too graphic, but there's in these stories and doing the Surrendering the Secret Bible study with women, you hear these stories of these post-op care of these women. Like, I mean, I thought I was going to bleed to death that day when I went home. I had no idea how much I was supposed to be expelling, how I was supposed to be feeling, and my parents thought I was just a good little girl off at practice. You know, so it's like, we really need to be in touch, and there are children these days that cannot take a Tylenol on a retreat at school or church without their parents' permission, but you can get an abortion without your parents' permission.
And that's so sad, because even if it's not your parents that are going to know what's going on with you health-wise, like, you need to have caring adults. And as much as doctors and nurses are great, they have a lot of patients to see in a short amount of time. For them, this is their job, and this is the procedures they did. And I know that my mom had had surgery, and it was like, oh, we'll just go home, and then she'll be better. You know, it was like a day surgery. And she was like, I'll be fine. You know, I don't even, and it's like, well, they said somebody needs to drive you, so I'll come. I couldn't believe how unable she was to take care of herself after she, you know, even like an hour and a half afterwards, you're like, are you sure that we should actually leave the hospital?
Even the most minor surgery takes more than a day to recover from.
Right.
And so even on that side, I think that we're doing a disservice to the youth of our nation if they don't understand. I mean, when you have an abortion, you know, not only does that life not have opportunity to affect and to impact and God to use that to better us all, but also just like physically, it's going to take a toll. I mean, on your body, and you need like a support network. And if you're hiding,
right,
and nobody knows, then things can go really, really wrong really fast, and that can cause problems for years.
Right. And emotionally, it is such an emotional thing. You think that things are going to just be okay. And I know that, like, parenthood lately has had one on last year, but things never are the same. You walk in one person, you walk out another. You know, whether you want it or you don't want it, you are such a different person emotionally, because now you're carrying that secret. And I have to believe that a lot of the people that are fighting for it have never gone through it. They don't know the emotion. I mean, that the abortion has such an emotional effect on you. After I had children, I was literally hearing crying babies in the other room. And I had no, and I would get up and go in the other room, and I'm like, okay, mine's okay. Where is this coming from? I just felt like the enemy was attacking me all over, because I had opened up that spiritual, you know, they say don't give the devil a foothold in the Bible. And when I did that, I gave him a foothold. And so it took me a long time to just forgive myself and to know that God can still love me, and I am forgiven. And now, so I really want to teach young ladies now to be strong, to be bold, and taking that mud off starts with forgiveness. Like Colossians 3:13 says, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Who can step in his place and say, I'm not going to forgive you because the Lord has forgiven me? That's pretty bold. And so we must forgive. I mean, we must forgive. And it starts with ourselves. And sometimes I tell my kids, I have to forgive myself all day long. There's things and thoughts and this and that, and I snap at this. And I mean, we're all human. we're rushing, we're making mistakes, you know, you accidentally cut somebody off, you're like, sorry. I mean, mm-hmm. you're constantly saying sorry and my apologies I forgive you. And sometimes it's not okay what happens to you, but it is okay to forgive them, because then you give them the freedom to think about what they've done, and revenge is off the table. It's right. gone.
And God says that vengeance is his and that he will repay.
That's right.
And he's like, he's the ultimate one who knows. No, he knows how to do that in a way that is good for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the most righteous judge. Like, any one of us in his place couldn't make those decisions.
Right. And the battle really does belong to the Lord. So mm-hmm. so for us, in that taking off the mud, that first step, it is, instead of vengeance or self-hatred or condemnation, it's creating a pure heart. Like in Psalm 51, it says, create in me a pure heart of God and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And creating a pure heart just means laying it all down, giving up that broken hallelujah, because everybody has a story to tell. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a story to tell. And when you have that heart change and you create that pure heart in you, which means you might have to ask for forgiveness 100 times. Have you heard the story about the guy who changed his password on his computer?
No.
It's so great. He was getting a divorce, and he changed his password to forgive her. And he had to type, you know, how many times uh-huh. you have to type your password
over
on your
and
computer?
Over.
And it was just like, forgive her, forgive her, forgive her. And every time he ended up forgiving. And then it was like something about lose weight. I don't know. He changed it to whatever. And I thought, that is so brilliant. And I've told my children, your actions will follow your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Your words and what comes out of your mouth is following what you're thinking of. So if you think it's going to be hard, or you think it's impossible, it will be. You've got to have the mind of Christ, not this double-mindedness, not this monkey mind coming after you, telling you that you can't ever be clean, you can't ever be forgiven, you're not good enough, comparing yourself to other people. The pure heart says, I am a beautiful child of God. Whether you feel beautiful or not, I am a child of God, and he mm-hmm. thinks I'm beautiful, so who cares what you think?
Right. Right. There's Mindy right here in the Fishbowl Radio Network. We are Bring It Radio, and I'm here in studio with Nate from the Sports Bowl.
How you doing?
And I'm also here with Demra Robbins.
Hello.
And thank you guys so much for coming today.
You're welcome.
Definitely made it awesome. So Demra, let's pick up with what we were talking about. Demra has a book, and I want to be sure I just mention that again. You guys can search it on Amazon, right?
Yes.
And it's actually in process of being republished.
Yep,
right now.
We're going to go with Ingram, and hopefully if Barnes & Noble picks it up, or Mardell. So right now it's just on Amazon.
Okay.
And we just canceled our exclusivity, so we're going to pull down, re-edit, put some testimonies on it, and update a few things, and then put it back out there.
Well, you guys, if you're enjoying anything about what she's saying, you definitely want this book. Like, I couldn't put it down and go to sleep. It's Muddy Little Secrets, Victim to Victory, Tragedy to Triumph by Demra Robbins and Alicia Sims Mercado.
Alicia cannot be here. She's in Mexico for about a month now. Her husband is from Monterey, and so they've gone down there. She's homeschooled, so they're just mobile. And
oh, cool.
She does all the fitness stuff with Fit Full Circle and her blog. So she couldn't be here today, but we've been best friends since, fourth grade. And, you know, we've been through a lot together. She saw all my struggles. I saw all her struggles. You know, part of her part in the book is about not fitting in the pretty pink box that her mom mm-hmm. wants her to fit in. We've kind of been talking about that, like comparing yourself to other people and growing up as a 40-year-old woman, and you're still comparing yourself. So she is just, she's laid it all down, and after the death of her son, and it's just this beautiful metamorphosis of her life is, mm-hmm. is taking place. And I'm so honored to be a witness of it, because she's such a great friend, and I love seeing people chase after their destiny from the Lord. And she's definitely doing that with her husband, Victor, and their four kids. So it's been great.
That's really awesome. And then what a gift for you to get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's a lot of people we run into, and they come in and out of our lives. But it's really cool, some of those long-term relationships, that you see them grow and blossom into that person that you know God always had for them.
Right, right. And she's not really a speaker, but I had invited her to the Reclaimed events.
Mm-hmm.
We initially did it to help the Mission Para Cristo in Nicaragua. And so she was very nervous, didn't want to tell her story. And then I took her to Nicaragua with me and with Gail and Nina. And if you haven't heard of Gail Novak, she is a personal life coach. And boy, she just lays it all down on the line. She came to my house several times and was just looking at me going, you have such a root of responsibility. You feel responsible for everybody. And you just can't carry this anymore. You've got to lay it down. And you know, I just kept thinking, well, if I don't do for them, then how are they going to be mm-hmm. okay? And you know, I was stepping in the place of God. But anyway, we went to Nicaragua, and that was Alicia's first time to ever share publicly about her son and the loss of him. And as soon as she stepped off the plane, she was crying for 24 hours. Wow. Just she had held it in for 7 years, and mm-hmm. you know, because her husband kind of had the we let him fall apart first, and then it was like all of a sudden it was her time and that freedom. And we've been talking about how to let the mud come off, how to lay down those burdens. Really, sometimes it's just a full surrender, you know, the empty hands, the broken hallelujah, just a surrender of okay, here it is, being honest. And like Nate being so open on his Facebook about his start and his surgeries and having cerebral palsy and his mom's choice to save him. Mm-hmm. You know, being that open gives other people the freedom to be open as well. And so it's, I love working with Alicia, and I love having her in my life. So it's been great.
Well, and we tend to associate emotions with weakness, mm-hmm. or emotions we associate those with just failure, right. actually. And I guess it depends on who you are. So maybe I'm just speaking for me, but I've always associated crying with there's something wrong. And it's been really interesting this year that there's been times that I'm able to cry and God says, that's right where I want you right now. Because part of that is just letting go of what you try to hold on to and what you try to control and allowing our bodies to work the way he made our bodies to work, mm-hmm. and to let go of the stress of carrying those loads. And, you know, it says he catches our tears in a bottle. He can't do that if we won't cry.
Right.
So I know that for some, especially, it's very, very difficult to cry, but I would encourage you to rethink the way mm-hmm. you think about it, because it really is his gift to us that, you know, there's nothing wrong with emotions, being sad or being joyful or being overwhelmed or whatever. It's like a little light on your dashboard that's saying, yeah. look at something's, you know, check your tire pressure or what mm-hmm. It's just telling you to look and maybe go spend some time with Jesus and ask him about that and what is bringing that up in you and what does he want you to do with it.
Right. And it's that softened part of your heart mm-hmm. where so many people do associate that as, oh, well, I can't cope. So I'm breaking down. And I know I've talked about my husband. I love him so much. He always says, how come every time you come home and you say it was an awesome evening, you've been bawling all night? And the truth is, like at the Battle Plans, when we were there and we were all, you know, I grew up Catholic, so I'm praying on my knees with you guys and I'm crying with you and you're crying with me and we're just laying it down. It's like, it's such a surrender to just let it out. Mm-hmm. And it feels so much better. It's such a purging process. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I really do think we need to lay that stipulation down, you know, male, female, whatever. It is okay. We have the best CEO at Manatech, Dr. Rob Sinnott. Every time he talks about his boys and his wife, he tears up. And here's this amazing man with many doctorates and, you know, he's running this huge company and he's doing all these great things and he's flying here and there. He's in Asia right now. And you bring up his boys and his mom, his wife, and it is like he just instantly tears up because his heart is pierced for them. Mm-hmm. And so if we can get to a place like that, like we're crying at Hallmark commercials, but are we crying in church? Mm-hmm. We're screaming at football games, but are we screaming, you know, raising our hands for Jesus? We just seem to put an invisible shield around those places that we don't want anybody to see, or around our relationship with Jesus. We don't want them to see that it's vulnerable and that it's open and it's organic and it's here and there. And I love being open. And it usually starts with just getting face down on the floor and just crying for me. Mm-hmm. But I've had a lot of pain to get over. And so some have more tears than others. You know, some don't cry as much. Some just feel like they're too blessed to be depressed. And I love that. My stepmother says that too, that you just don't have to stay in that state. You don't have to cry all day long, but just being willing to let it out.
Well, and sometimes crying is part of God washing you, and then he replaces his truth in there, because sometimes you're letting out your emotions or your feelings about it. So it's not crying and I'm going to carry this sad, I'm going to nurture this and I'm going to cry all day because I'm so sad. It's I'm releasing that, and then right. God, will you fill me with your perspective, with your That's wisdom
right.
on this?
That's right. And there's a story in the Bible that talks about how she cleaned her house out. Mm-hmm. The woman cleaned her house out of all this evil and all these demons, and then if it is not filled with the glory of God, then 7 times more evil will come mm-hmm. back in. And so whenever you're going through that purging process, it's really important to make sure you're putting back in the positive, putting back in the scripture and in just knowing that you're on the right track mm-hmm. instead of focusing on the past.
Right.
Yeah. That's good. I love that. And I always tell Alicia is a great person because she could be crying every day that she's lost her son, but she has 4 other children to raise. Mm-hmm. And she has to wake up and be there for them. She has to show up and show off for them every day. She has to be their example for Jesus every day. And I have to be that example for my kids, whether I've had you know, I'm still hurting over my sisters or my mom, or I've been crying that morning, I still have to be there for my kids and my husband, and I've got to show up. And it's okay to show them that you can show up in a vulnerable state,
mm-hmm.
and ask them to come sit with you and hug you and say, mommy needs a prayer, a hug today. You know, being that superwoman with the cape and the boots, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're never scathed by anything that's happening. Sometimes that superwoman is the one that I see going through the biggest tragedy, or and I look at her and say, you're going to have the biggest triumph over this, because the bigger the tragedy, the bigger the triumph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially in the Old Testament, you see the stories where God fought the battles for them, mm-hmm. or he delivered them, like Gideon, and there was just 300 people and they defeated like 10,000. And you're going, that's not numerically possible. I mean, God had to step in and do that. So he does. He receives so much more glory. And one thing that I've just really learned, and I'm still learning every day. In fact, I was learning it this morning. So if you're out there and you feel like you haven't got this yet, just, you know, hang with me, because we're in this together, is every day just getting up and saying, okay, I'm going to be obedient to what God has shown me to do today. And I'm going to let go of the emotions of, it's going to be great, I'm so good at this, I'm so talented, or I have nothing to give, I don't know why I'm doing, you know, just whatever your thoughts, whatever your emotions are, and laying those at Jesus' feet and going, I know you called me to do this, and I'll be here, and I'll be faithful, but I'm asking your spirit to empower me and to flow through me and make it something that can really serve you. So it's not that you haven't prepared and like studied for your math test or whatever, but it's being able to let go of your expectations of what it looks like when you're successful in these tasks,
right.
that you know he's given you. So sometimes when you're walking your kids to school in the morning, I know some mornings you're just, I'm walking and I'm going, this is great, because like we've had such a good morning and I've got to teach them about truth this morning. We had time to love on each other. We had time to do each other's hair, you know, whatever. Other mornings, you're just like, okay, just get there on time. I mean, like, right. like walk faster right now. Like, let's go. Like, move. And then in your brain, you're going, I think I was supposed to love on them this morning, and we were supposed to pray together. And then you're kind of like, okay, God, yeah. give me the vision right now for what doing it your way looks like, because I have right. like 5 minutes more with this child before they're going to school, and you hate to just push them out the door like that. Some mornings are like that, and to invite him into those moments, yeah. whether they feel glorious or whether they feel really imperfect and rushed, and
right.
then just be obedient. Because sometimes I think, well, I hate to just be like, let me pray with you and then goodbye, you know. But then I think, what are they missing out on whenever I don't follow that desire to pray over them, and then they go into their day, and even though I'm praying for them, I know that, they don't necessarily know that. I think there's something very comforting about when someone prays for you.
Absolutely.
In front of you, and they're taking you before the Father and asking for his mercy and his grace and his love to fill you.
That's right. And having that, not monotone, but you know, instead of the up and the down, and life is full of hills and valleys, but my current mentor, Patricia Barnett, she's so wise. She just always tells me to be unattached to the outcome, whatever it is, because mm-hmm. sometimes it's going to be a yucky outcome. And if you're so attached, it will completely wreck you.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for success. If you completely attach yourself to this little success, I mean, how many, we know some people, I mean, I was doing that for years. Oh, I'm this, I've had this, I've done this. But then, what about today? That was 10 years ago. What about
right.
today? You know, I was really sweet yesterday, but I'm being really mean today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what are we doing in the moment? And so being unattached to, you know, somebody's, a client saying yes or no, even in my business, or somebody receiving a prayer or rejecting it. They have the right to do that. We are in the great nation of America, the
mm-hmm.
United States of America, where we can disagree. We can be totally politically opposite. We can be different race, different genre, different age. And I can still love you with the Lord of the love of the Lord. And we can still sit down and have a relationship and pray with each other. And be kind of great stewards of each other and spur one another on to goodness.
Right.
Even if, you know, it's a hectic moment.
Well, and letting him do the work with his spirit too. Because I think that especially when you grow up in church, sometimes you think, I have the answer for you. So, okay, you told me the problem. Let me give you the answer. This is what you're going to do. And then you're going to read this. And then after you do that, then, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. And I think that sometimes God's just going, really? And I think that the more people that you talk to and the more hurt you start going, wow, I have no idea how to handle this, but you know what, I know the God who does, and I know the God who wants to move in. And so let me encourage you to press into him. Let me encourage you to learn about who he is and let go of the ideas of who we think he is, you know, so that he can support you in this, he can show you how to walk through this. Because, you know, I know what I did in this circumstance, or I know what he had me do here, but that may not even be what he has for you. And letting other people have their experiences with
That's
God
right.
and not going, it needs to be this cookie cutter mold thing.
Right. And I was an enabler for so many years because after what I had lived through and what I did myself, I just felt like I needed to make up for it, mm-hmm. so to speak. I tried to earn grace. I tried to do enough good so people would think I was good in case they ever found out that they would be like, oh, well, that's okay. We like, you know, so that earning grace and that performance-based household. And, you know, mm-hmm. I did that for a long time in my marriage with my children, with my friends, with my family. And then you realize you just can't do enough. Mm-hmm. And this being unattached to the answer or unattached to the response, you know, if we all had different political views and we were unattached to how they felt about it, we could have a decent conversation about it.
Right.
You know?
But we tend to be very, very passionate and go, how can you not see it the way I see it? Instead of right. going, God, in your timing, will you show them what you want them to know? And that's to right. not even assume that it's what he's already shown us. And in your timing, will you show me what you want me to know?
Right.
And how to just see people and love on them the way he sees them.
That's right.
Because I'm always just amazed. It's like in Romans 5:8, it says, but God commendeth his love, which he showed his love. I was always like, commendeth. But he showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus did not come to the earth and die for people that already were like, please save us. We're lost. We've gone the wrong. No, he did it when we were still just going our own way. We don't care about you. We don't want to follow you. And he loves that side of us as much as he loves the side of us that wants to follow him and please him. And so sometimes we'll beat ourselves up, especially if you are in church and you go, today, I'm not feeling it. But like you said, your emotions will follow your thoughts and actions, and sometimes they can swing mm-hmm. other ways. But generally, if you are consistently in the Word and you're consistently asking God to pour into you his thought and his truth, and you're surrounding yourself with those people, then your emotions start following that. And it's amazing, you know, where it talks about the peace that passes all understanding. And you see yourself later, you look back at things you went through and you went, how was I peaceful at that time? Mm-hmm. And it's like, that was from all of those seeds being planted and going, I trust in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I trust in God. He's the one taking care of me. I'm not controlling this. I'm not being sure that my family is safe. I'm going to do the best that I can, but I'm going to know he's ultimately in control, and that gives us such freedom and we can truly rest. So you could have a Sabbath, you could have a day of rest, but if you emotionally haven't given those things and surrendered those things to him, you're still just going to be a big ball of anxiety if you have a whole day to think.
Right. And people are living in turmoil everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. I got a note card from Dani Johnson when I did some one-on-one coaching with her a long time ago, and it was Jeremiah 32:27. Mm-hmm. And we went to Hawaii 1 year, and I told my kids, this is our scripture. We're going to all memorize this by the end of the week. It says, Jeremiah 32:27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Mm. And we can go in and insert anything in anything. Not your marriage, not your kids, not your bills, not your post-abortive of sin, shame, secrecy, whatever it is. There's so many things, you know, that you can give to God because he is the Lord of all mankind. So for me, surrendering all of that stuff has been, it's the only way I found peace, because I searched for it for 20 years and I didn't know what it was. And I thought, oh, it's because my niece and nephews are being raised by other people. Oh, it's because of this. It's because you're trying to find an answer. You're striving. Mm-hmm. And really, when you just stop and surrender, that's when the peace came.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you came in to share. And I definitely want to have you back whenever your book is republished into where it's in more places for people to get their hands on it here in the city. But
and we will host a mud run next spring. We're looking for sponsors.
Okay.
We want to do a mud run, kind of a ladies retreat. We've got some great speakers, my friend Shay Wright and Alicia and myself. And we would just want to have an intimate retreat in the spring and kind of do like a mud run and then wash ourselves off and then go really study some word and have some small group and some surrendering time and some great celebration time as well. So
can I come to the end like the mud bath? Forget the run part.
So we'll have more details about that later, and we don't know how all that's going to funnel out. I'm just kind of leaning on God on when and where and how and, you know, what that looks like and how much that costs and, you know, all that
well,
stuff.
Well, if you want information about that specifically or you're interested in sponsoring, you can always go to bringitradio.com and you can actually email us and we will get back with you with answers, or you can post on the Facebook Bring It Radio to ask questions about that so that we'll have the resources up for you. Well, Dimra, thank you so much. And you guys, y'all are going to want to get the book, and then when she republishes it, then get it again, and then you'll be able to give your copy away, because I'm a little bit selfish with mine. It's Muddy Little Secret. Victim to Victory, Tragedy to Triumph by Dimra Robbins and Alicia Sims Mercado. And thank you, Nate. Thank you so much for running the board. You've like saved my life today.
You're welcome.
It's just definitely been really nice to have people sitting on both sides of me just it feels like family. It's very nice in here. So thank you guys for joining us. This is Mindy with Bring It Radio on the Fishbowl Radio Network. Join us in the Gospel Bowl every Wednesday from 11 to 1. And if you want to listen live and you're on the go, you can get the TuneIn Radio app to do that. Just search that on your iPad or whatever. And you can also subscribe to our podcast at bringitradio.com, where we will be putting up our most recent ones so you can listen whenever it's convenient for you. So have a great day. We'll see you next week.